Welcome back to Decades on Dirt Roads. This is Catherine.
And this is Maddie. Today we got to sit down with Sadie Kennedy. She is the director at the Wallowa History Center, and she is really a do-all gal, like most of the people we interview. But she, career-wise, she's been a lawyer and is still currently a lawyer. It's not her main thing right now, as she's the director of the History Center. She's a mom of four kids, and she and her husband have a cattle business called Allen Canyon Cattle. And yeah, today we sat down with her, talked about all things, how she grew up in Wallowa County and how she's come back to the area. And every person we interview is quirky and cool in all their ways, but she is a lawyer by trade, and so she was so punctual and so well versed in answering every question so completely and much faster than I was anticipated. So if yeah. I sound a little caught off guard, that is because of her professionalism, and she can just say everything so poetically. And so there's just a few moments where I am a little stunned, one, by her vocabulary, two, of just, oh, you told me your whole life story and it were only 30
minutes. In like 3 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was really fun to obviously sit down with her in the space, because we got to go to the History Center.
She showed us around.
Yeah, and just the walkthrough of the facilities and what they're able to do as a nonprofit. I think it's...
And what they've really done in the last 3 years almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And with some of the folks that she talks, that are her counterparts there at the center, it was really cool just to see... how passionate they all are about, you know, keeping Wallowa history alive and making it a space that is easy to interact with, or easier to interact with. And, by fixing up the buildings. And then Catherine and I afterwards, we were done talking on the podcast and recording her. She showed us around like the whole building, and we got to go down into the archive center downstairs.
Yeah, we tried to take some pictures.
And it was just... I mean, it's like a playground of just
so much information,
so many random things that people just drop off in these huge binders of the original newspapers.
Yeah.
And then all these cool like logging photos of the boys at the mill back in the day. And then you just open up any of the cabinets, and there's just random files on things.
It was funny when she was showing us the yearbooks. I kind of looked at her and I was like, your picture's in here, right? And she's like, yep. And I was like, you're part of the history. And she's like, yeah. And then they were saying they had found yearbooks back to like 1925, which was super cool.
Yeah. And they have all of them for Wallowa.
Well, yeah.
And then they're working on getting Enterprise
and Joseph. Glossine. I think Glossine still has a high school.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe they did at one point.
They probably did at one point.
Yeah.
One thing I really liked about her... And they moved back to Wallowa in, like, 2016, I think. But I think the biggest, like, motto that she had was, like, her family comes first, and she's really incorporated them into the cattle business. Any question they have about the History Center, they're always, you know, stopping by there and stuff like that. And so just being able to, like, incorporate your family first. And then, obviously, like, her career has kind of taken a kind of winding path. It's not exactly what she anticipated doing. It was towards the end, and she just said, start wherever you are.
Yeah.
It was like her big advice piece, and I just love that because, I mean, when you pick out your careers when you're 18, 19, 20, and you're going into college, and you think you know what you want, and maybe you get there, and it's not exactly what you thought, and you can start wherever and go into whatever field and kind of just go from there, and you might end up in a completely different spot than you would have anticipated. And so she was just like, yeah, start wherever you are. I didn't think I was going to be here, but I love it. And you can tell how passionate she is about it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, she was talking about the age gap in her kids, and like the oldest is 13 and she has a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
And this woman is like running cattle. She has the kid in a backpack on her back. She's doing hot laps to the Wallowa History Center.
Yeah.
You know, making ends meet and doing it with such... I mean, with such grace and professionalism, but also just like a natural, there was such a natural presence of curiosity, mm-hmm. and I really appreciated that no day is the same.
Yeah.
She just talked about, you know, people...
just stop by.
Yeah, stop by and drop off these like boxes of random things. And on one hand, that would almost seem kind of overwhelming of like, where does this match up in the history of our center? But I mean, they make it work and it's cool.
Yeah. And I think that also... Just the conversation we had with the other lady that was helping out today, I think it speaks volumes to the people and families that have stayed in Willow County. If you want to live there, you really have to hustle. Like, everyone's doing multiple things, multiple jobs, you know, making ends meet to be able to live in this beautiful place. And I think the way that she kind of talks about all the stuff that she does, it's really representative of the county as a whole.
Totally. Yeah, and I think that, I mean, you can just tell how proud she is to be a member, I mean, one, a member of that community, but also a very well-respected, and I mean, a person that does a lot to put, you know, Willow on the map locally, mm-hmm. of just like, hey, like, no, we have, you know, we're creating centers to be able to celebrate our history, and, you know, they're working on making an interpretive center.
Yeah.
They're at the History Center, and with, you know, all our people are interconnected, and so it was just fun to then think about, you know, one of our previous interviews with the Huntsakers, how they brought the Interpretive Center in Baker City to life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, cool, they're doing the groundwork for this.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And I think it also shows to, like, the involvement of the community. She was saying they were reading, I can't remember what the book was, but they thought they were going to have, like, a little book group and over like 5 weeks, and maybe like 8 to 10 people would show up, and
40 people,
and then 40 people showed up, so it ended up being like more of discussion, more of like a class instead of like a book group, and right. And so the level of involvement in the community you can really feel by sitting there in the historic center, mm-hmm. with her. So yeah, we hope you enjoy it, and we're gonna link the website for the Willow History Center, and we're gonna link her cattle company if you want check out what they're doing and raising grass fed beef and stuff like that. And
yeah, enjoy. Yeah.
Oh, and we're gonna post some pictures that we took of the History Center, the little like sneak peek.
So check it out on Instagram
or Facebook. Enjoy.
Welcome to the show, Sadie. Thank you for being here with us. We'll just start with who you are and how you got to Northeastern Oregon.
Sure. So I am Sadie. I grew up here in Wallawa, graduated from high school here, and then went off into the world and did a few things. I went to law school in Eugene, so spent a little time there, and then actually we lived there for a short time after that. And as I graduated law school, my husband and I kind of spent equal amounts of time and energy looking for jobs in both his hometown and my hometown. He is from Myrtle Point in Coos County. So we considered moving there or here. We kind of looked at our opportunities in both places. And as it worked out, we were both able to get jobs in Willow County. So we headed this way. So that's how I ended up here. Initially, and then we kind of moved around a little bit in those first professional years, and were in LeGrand for a couple of years, and very quickly decided we wanted to be back in Willow County. So we've been back this time since 2016.
Nice. And what law did you practice? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, so like many small town lawyers, I really practiced in a wide variety of areas. But when I began practicing with a small firm in LeGrand, which is who I'm still affiliated with now, I began to do more ag-based, all different kinds of things. So sometimes, you know, like a dissolution that has a lot of specific agriculture type resources can be a little bit difficult to divide up. Also, other litigation areas where there were cows or land or those kind of things ended up being what I did a lot of. Also, a lot of succession planning for farms and ranches.
Hmm. Interesting. That's super cool. Is that what you, like, you went to law and you just get a law degree and then you specialize? Like, how does that?
Yeah, the law degree doesn't have any particular specialties associated with it. But most people have some kind of an idea what they want to go into. And like any other degree, you can choose classes that you think are going to be most helpful to what you're interested in. So I knew that I was interested in natural resources and agriculture. You know, that wasn't really a surprise. I also knew that working in a small town, I was going to need to be able to do a variety of different kinds of things.
Do it all.
Yeah. Be familiar with probably a handful of things and how to represent folks. That's cool. So you're a lawyer, or you are a lawyer, and then you work at the Wallowa History Center. Let's talk about how that relationship.
Yeah. So it's so complicated because it really has to do with, like, the big picture life and all the things that were going on for our family. But we moved back in 2016. We bought a little farmhouse that needed a lot of renovation and a lot of work. So we took that on. And then 2 years later, had the opportunity to purchase the neighboring parcel, which gave us enough land to really dive into raising cattle and producing grass-fed beef. So we purchased the neighboring property and also welcomed our third child, right, all at the same time. And I continued practicing law from home for a while after that, but it was clear that I needed to kind of focus on both our beef business and my family. And then this position came open, I was kind of casually looking, but when I saw the advertisement to work at the History Center, it was really a great fit for me just because of my own personal interest and background. And so now here I am.
Cool. So talk about, that's a lot of stuff. You have a cattle business, you're raising a family, you're a lawyer, and then you jump into this. So kudos to you. But talk about what your role here is at the History Center and what, because you've been here since, when did you start here?
I started here in 2022, okay. And I am the History Center's first employee. So they have been in existence since 2001 and done a phenomenal job. Doing all kinds of incredible projects purely with a volunteer base.
Wow.
So when I came on, I was the first formal employee. I am the executive director, so I do all sorts of things, but I just kind of keep everything running, organized, know what's happening when, all the logistics of
you
all the different
all.
Things.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
You're still on track with just kind of...
That's tracking with Sadie's tendencies.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. So then what, as the executive director, what's a current project you guys have working on right now?
So something we just wrapped up, we did what we called a little read. We did a 5-week book group series on Grace Bartlett's history book, which is kind of a really solid look at early Wallowa County history. So we did a 5-week series. We were expecting maybe like 8 to 10 people and a book group discussion style event. And then we had between 40 and 50 participants at each of our 5-week sessions. So that kind of morphed into more of a presentation style just because of the size of the group, but we were thrilled to have so many people interested in what we're doing.
That's awesome. So it was just, it was a book club, or I guess it started as a book club and then it turned into 40 people showing up to a book club?
Yeah, it's great. So he kind of led the discussion, David Weaver, and provided context both within the book, but also from the larger historical record of the things that were going on in that time. And then we also had some great discussion with some really interesting people with interesting perspectives and really added a lot. I think everybody who was there really got a lot out of all the different perspectives and commentary.
That's so cool and so special, like, for the community to be coming together to talk about the history of the place that you guys all appreciate so deeply. That's super cool.
So our programming is really varied. So that's one example of something that we've just recently completed. A lot of it has to do and is driven by what our historians are working on. So as they have different projects and things coming up, we shift towards what they're doing. So we do presentations in our presentation space. We do field trips or projects with specific classrooms if teachers contact us and want to do projects with us. We have our Wallawa Quarterly, which goes out 4 times a year. It's a magazine that includes a wide variety of articles and photographs from Wallawa County history. So those are a couple of the things we do, but we really have a lot of projects going on. We also have the huge project that is the physical renovation of this compound. So the Bear Sleds compound is 5 buildings, and we have pretty much completed restoration on this building, our office building, and our research library. And then we're really close to finishing the warehouse building, which will be an interpretive center. So we will have permanent exhibits on the perimeter space of that building that tell basically the story of how people have lived in Wallawa County, which tends to be very natural resources based. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with the Wallawa Band Nez Perce and work through time and talk about different ways, different things that people have done and how they've interacted with their space and their environment. And then we also do our presentations in that space. And our plan is also to have rotating exhibits in the interior. So we may have, you know, whatever kind of topics come up, we may have temporary exhibits that come and go in there as well. And then the Ranger Station building, we're just getting started on the interior renovation of that space, which is a pretty big project. The buildings have been essentially empty or underutilized since the 80s, and that building in particular was a rental and had a lot of water damage inside. So we've had to pretty much completely gut the interior, but we will be working on restoring it to as close as we can get to its original state.
So what's the story of this spot?
Yeah, so it was built in the 30s by the CCC and was a Forest Service compound. And they were here until the Forest Service shifted up to Enterprise. And so the United States government transferred it to the ownership of the city. So the city formally owns it with the agreement that it's occupied by a nonprofit based on education. So that's where we come in. So our role is all the renovation, all the upkeep, all the physical occupancy of the space and everything we're doing here, but it is formally owned by the city.
Wow. Oh, cool. Dang. That, there's so many things to unpack in that. Okay, so the interpretive center, that's super.
Yes.
That's really intriguing. Because one of the first folks that we interviewed were the Huntsakers, right?
I think so.
They did the Oregon Trail Interpretive Center, and that's how they met. And so they talked about the brainstorming and the blueprinting that went behind that. So you talked a little bit about the timeline, but you personally, what are you most excited for in that? Because I'm sure there's a ton of collaboration.
Yeah.
With, you talked about your historians. So maybe talk about how you find these people that know all these things and that we can...
Yeah. So our historians, I mean, it's anyone who's interested. So we're always like connecting with new people and welcoming anyone who is interested in researching Wallawa County history. There's kind of a core group of folks that have been involved for a while, and they are really great about responding to inquiries we get. People will send us emails asking questions, and they have just a tremendous wealth of knowledge in various different areas. They tend to kind of all have their specialty in the thing that they work on, so I know sort of who to connect with who as the questions come in. But we're always welcoming new historians and people who are interested in doing more or participating in what we're doing. The plans for the Interpretive Center itself, the vision for our permanent exhibits is we plan to commission artworks from local artists that depict different events. So we have a working list of topics that we think we will feature, and as funding comes in for the project, we will be reaching out to artists and putting out a request for proposals. So people who have ideas and think they might want to participate in generating unique art that tells stories. We have so many photographs here, and we will use some of our photographs, but there's a lot of things we know happened from the historical record that you don't necessarily have a visual of.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to work with artists and bring to life some of these things that we know happened.
That's super cool. Yeah, because there's so many, I mean, authors alone you can just go to the Northeast Oregon Center and feel like there's so many authors that came from Wallowa County to talk about a bunch of different things, let alone the art scene down here. That'll be really cool to collaborate with all that.
Yeah, really exciting. So the timeline on that is relatively soon. We just finished the floors and we'll be painting shortly, so we're really close to being ready to actually start hanging stuff on the walls, which is exciting.
So projected to have is the interpretive center up by the end of the year, or is that...
It just really depends what kind of response we get. So once we have the funding secured to pay folks for their work, we will work with them depending on how long it's going to take them. And we may have pieces come in on different times. You know, it's not all going to happen immediately at once. So I don't really know, but I know that we're going to start working on this this spring. I mean, as soon as the physical space is ready, we'll be starting.
And that's already a pretty, I mean, this compound is already probably a pretty fulfilling place as far as instant gratification of like, okay, I planned that, I did that, I saw that through. And then to have the whole community then interacting with that, that's super cool, Sadie.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I was fortunate to come on, you know, so much work was done before I got here that I've really got to come in at the exciting part where we're like actually painting the buildings and putting the new roofs on. And my work has very much built on the work that was done before I got here.
Yeah, and maybe speak to that. You know, has there been any type of mentorship that you've received? Obviously, this is a very niche county as far as, you know, this. Once you're raised here, you're probably always welcome back. And the community here is so rich. Talk about maybe some mentorship that you've received, because the history of this place is pretty sacred, so it's a little on-guarding to have somebody representing that.
Well, the whole History Center was really founded by Mary Ann Burroughs, and she is just a tremendous person who has put an incredible amount of work into making everything that is here what it is. So she started the History Center, and it was downtown. She had kind of a little storefront window, and she would put photographs and projects up so people walking by could see what she was working on. And it's built and built. So this last spring we dedicated this building to her as the research library, because really it is because of her work that we are able to do any of the things that we've done. And then David Weaver is a tremendous historian who really puts countless hours into the projects and presentations and the actual details of the history work. He does an incredible job and is very thorough and knows so much about what we're doing here. And then there's also some Wallowa-specific historians that have lived here, have grown up here, know everyone. So when we get requests like, I'm looking at buying this building, what can you tell me about it? There's just a tremendous wealth of knowledge there of all kinds of who owned it, what they did, when it burned, when it was remodeled, all the different storefronts that may have been there, that sort of thing.
That's super cool. Yeah, you probably get several numbers to call if someone gets stumped of just like, if you don't have the answer, this person will have the answer.
Yeah, yeah. Often I'm like, well, I have no idea, but I know who will.
I've got a contact list who probably will give me a good answer.
So are a lot of the historians like third, fourth, fifth generation, like, Wallowa County residents? Or is it some people that just come in and get really into, like, the community?
Some of both.
Really?
Yeah, some of both. So some people just kind of have an interest in history and have really dived in. More of them have been here, their families have been here. Mm-hmm. And so, like, a lot of times they'll be in a room talking about things, and it's funny just like the common knowledge they have, and I've come in and I'm just, you know, all I've done is live here, so I'm really brand new to the history aspect of things. It's just an incredible amount of knowledge.
Right, to them it's just another day, but you're like, oh, you're talking about a lot of things that is just very normalized for them in their conversation.
Yeah, so I do my best to just soak it up, like,
right.
Catch as much of that as I can.
So you talked a little bit about raising cattle. What does that look like for you? And then what maybe is the history of that area? I'm sure that you're not the first cattle family in that area or on that land.
So my husband and I and our children have a business called Allen Canyon Cattle, and we raise and produce grass-fed beef. So it's been, you know, a really great, wonderful adventure. Both my husband and I had some experience in agriculture in various ways before we started doing this, but here in Wallowa County, we've been doing that since 2016.
Gotcha.
So we have our herd of cattle. We run moderator Red Angus, so they're a little bit smaller framed, which has several reasons why that's what we run, but they finish well on grass-fed beef. They're smaller framed, smaller bodied, so we can produce a consistent product that's going to finish out well on grass. The history side of things, I mean, it's been really fun to be here, and there's a historic barn on our place, so to be able to find pictures of that, and we found pictures here at the History Center of when they put the irrigation ditch in up Allen Canyon and that sort of thing. So it has been really fun to dive into the history of the particular place that we live that we are running right now.
That's super cool. Oh my gosh, to find old photos of, like, your property and stuff. Oh, gosh. So within all the roles that you have, what's been the most satisfying for you?
The most satisfying? Well, I have 4 children, and they're just absolutely the most important thing in my life. All the other things I do, they always come first. It's always about my family first. Raising livestock with them has been a really wonderful experience and something I'm really grateful that I get to share that with my kids. Here at the History Center is also something that I share with my kids. They have their own questions and their own interests, and it's fun to see what catches their eye and what they want to dive into. So when they're here with me, they always have great questions and things that they're interested in learning more about too.
Yeah, that's super cool. Giving those kids just a curious environment.
Yeah,
because that's just par with the course of this whole whatever the History Center and everything is built on families and built on making a life out here. So it's good that obviously a passionate family is carrying on that legacy.
And it's such a, our community is so special. And so the History Center reflects that. It's really just a product of the community that we're in. And so being able to include my kids in part of that community is really important.
Yeah, that's super special. I'm just stunned on like all the photos. Like that would be such a fun, like, devil in the details. You guys probably just have books and books and books of just old photos.
We do. So many, and you never know, like, what you're going to come across. And then people bring things in, too. So people will find, you know, like, oh, well, my grandma had these photos. And actually, the photos that are hanging in the other room are my grandmother's. My roots in Wallowa County run deep. My grandmother's grandfather was Frank Revis, who took the photographs that are hanging in the other room. And my grandma had an interest in his photography. She had his glass negatives, and so she developed and produced all those prints and did a lot of research into Frank Revis's life and the photographs that he took. He took the 2 photographs that are known of Chief Joseph on his last visit to Wallowa County. So they're both hanging
in
the other room. One of them has A.C. Smith in the photo, and A.C. Smith was my grandmother's great-grandfather. So a lot of the photographs themselves are a really important part of this, because that's kind of the vehicle by which my grandmother got involved. Part of the reason why I was so interested in this was the photographs. I also am somewhat of an amateur photographer, as was my grandmother. So the photographs really are an important piece of what we're doing here, and there's so much, and there's so much incredible work. Sometimes what makes the photograph significant is the subject matter. They're rare and limited. What has really been incredible for me is to appreciate the composition and the beauty and the quality of some of the photographs, especially, they didn't have cell phones in their pockets. They weren't just snapping photos all the time. And so the quality and of the artwork that they produced is
the intentionality. Like, you had to be very thoughtful with setting up a camera.
So that is another piece of it that is just fascinating to work on. It never gets boring.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah, if I was your kid and had to be here after school, I'd probably just be going page. Oh, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Figure it out. That's so cool.
So for someone who's never heard of Wallowa County or this area, how would you describe kind of the history of... The cliff notes of it.
Yeah, well, one of the things that's so significant, as anyone who's ever been here knows, is it's geographically really isolated. So because of the mountains, this valley is situated in such a way that it is not very easy to get to still in comparison to a lot of other places. Because of that, it was settled significantly later than most of Oregon, which really had a huge impact in all of the things that happened. The Wallowa Band's presence here in the valley remained far longer than a lot of the other surrounding areas, mostly because of those geographical barriers. I think that still really holds true with the culture. So there's still, days that there's too much snow and we don't get mail. It doesn't happen that often in today's world, but you have people who come here and they're like, well, where do you shop? You don't have any big box stores. You don't have a lot of these other things. But I think that really contributes to the culture of the community. I feel a very tight-knit community, and there's a lot of cooperation amongst the people who live here. And I would attribute that mostly to just that we are somewhat isolated. It's also just, so beautiful, and we all have the opportunity to step outside and be in this beautiful area. You don't have to go far to be hiking and to really have all the benefits of being in nature, and I think that also contributes very much to how the people live here. We have the luxury of just being in this incredible, beautiful place every day without having to really do anything. We just get to look out the window and enjoy it.
There's just moments when we're talking to people like you, and I'm just like, gosh, your life is so cool. This is awesome.
It really is.
This is your everyday. You just get to dive into history and dive into how people settled this, and then somebody brings in a random booklet of just random items, and you get to dive through it.
There's so much there. So, of course, there's moments where it's like, there's this huge pile of stuff to do, and we're never going to make it through, but... it's really offset by every day is an adventure, and it's so, so wonderful to get to dive into this. Also, the people we're learning about, the people who are bringing things in are so incredible, and I've had the opportunity to learn stories of all of these incredible people, which I very much appreciate.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite story or just kind of fun fact about...
I think something that really stands out in my mind, we did a presentation in Lower Valley, so just right when you come into the canyon, that's considered Lower Valley, and was one of the first settlements in Wallowa County. So we did a presentation there, and we worked with Dale and Lou Johnson, and they gave some perspective and all kinds of family history, but... Dale described the way Fanny Applegate Johnson carried her 6-week-old baby down Smith Mountain as she came into the valley for the first time. And so that always has just really stood out in my mind, because I can imagine holding this tiny infant, and she walked. So walking into the valley holding this tiny little baby really stands out in my mind, just the way that must have felt for her, and seeing the valley for the first time with this tiny little infant in her arms.
Yeah, especially the viewpoint off of Smith Mountain is just gorgeous. I can't imagine. Yeah, I got chills a little bit thinking about that.
Yeah, that's
amazing. That's like one of my favorite views of the valley is there, and then coming out of Puaca Ridge, looking back.
Holding a child looking into the valley, that just seems a little daunting.
That would
just like, how are we going to do this?
No,
how are we going to make ends meet?
Incredibly daunting. And just what they were facing in terms of how much work. And she went on to have an incredible life. So David did an entire presentation just about Fanny Applegate Johnson. She is an incredible woman with a great story.
Did they settle in the Minim first and then come over, or how were people like getting into the valley before?
Yeah, so A.C. Smith built the first real road mm-hmm. into the county, which came, it was really on a trail that already existed. I mean, mm-hmm. Settlers were following the same path that people had been using for generations to come into the valley, but it essentially came to Minim and then over Smith Mountain. So rather than following the river like it does now, it went up and over Smith Mountain.
Gotcha. That's cool. Because we, when the Rocky Mountain Elk purchased that parcel of the Minim, we were involved in that celebration. And so it was really cool to like get up on top and see all the orchards and the old settlements from there and like the logging camps and stuff like that. From some people who, I think the Wallowa County Commissioner, one of them, she like grew up there for a little bit and remembers like visiting the logging camps with her family. So it was really cool up there. And then to hear how they used to get from the Minim over, it's really neat.
A little different than the current travel pattern.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's one of the things that's so great and never gets old, is like just to learn the stories of who lived where and how hard they worked to exist in those spaces.
Yeah. There are some humbling spots, I'm sure, around here. And that is a very PC way to say that.
Yeah, steep and deep.
Yeah.
Wasn't Wallowa County a lot of sheep? Did they start with sheep and then...
So there were a lot of sheep. So as the Homestead Act progressed and people really started coming in, one of the things that Wallowa County had to offer was a tremendous amount of grazing. Mm-hmm. So they're both the people who were here, homesteading, living here all the time, but other settlers from the Grand Ronde Valley and surrounding areas would also come in to graze their livestock, and there were at one point a huge number of sheep here in the valley.
That's wild.
There's photographs here of huge numbers of sheep. You know, just the whole frame is filled mm-hmm. with sheep, but also the shearing and then the huge wagon loads.
That would be so cool to see.
Of wool, yeah.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
I've seen some really great sheep photographs here.
Yeah, because when we were talking to, who did we just talk to?
Vic,
yeah. He was kind of talking about how they phased them out of like the wilderness when they were doing like the restoration of the sheep population. So that kind of just made me think of like that going hand in hand with people kind of moving more towards cows.
Yeah, really it was, I mean, all about the grazing and the way that sheep graze and the way that cows graze, are like mm-hmm. the implications for the grass is very different.
Oh, yeah.
So there are a lot of things, you know, a lot of things changed and happened, but you don't have nearly the sheep grazing. But at one time, there was huge numbers of sheep.
It was really cool looking through Vic's book. And when we were talking with him, I think a little bit during the podcast and then afterwards, when I went to go pick up some of the books, I got to talk to his wife, and they just spoke so highly of this place. And they were like, oh my gosh, everybody at the Wallowa History Center, like they helped us so much with the photos and putting everything together. So that was cool.
Yes, we have his book over on the shelf for sale. We offer, you know, it's just about sharing mm-hmm. works of local mm-hmm. history. So mm-hmm. any local authors who have books about Wallowa County history, we have a little shelf in the other room and offer for sale everyone's books. And there's some really incredible, incredible books, incredible history research that's been done and compiled. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to be able to share that.
Yeah,
and just like how all...
I love how everyone's been interconnected,
Everyone's so interconnected. I mean, that shouldn't be surprising, because like we're in such a small space, like, oh yeah, if you work and like you're good at what you do in the outdoors, your name's going to be well known, yeah. Like Vic, and then just like the Interpretive Center, and then you guys, it's just cool.
That's one of the things I really like about this job, is I can't imagine doing a similar job in a large area. For me, it's so great. There's like a small number of people, a small number of families. It feels doable. It feels attainable. Like I can know something about a lot of different areas because it's really not that many people. Whereas in a larger area, I can't imagine.
Yeah, the capacity to handle it. It's like, yeah. No, I need another movie.
Yeah.
It seems attainable. It is attainable just with how passionate people are about, you know, keeping this place what it is. With the big like phrase we have at the end of all these things is, you know, what's the advice to the next generation, or what advice do you have to community members of how to support this place? What advice do you give to another Sadie in another 20 years who's going to take your spot? Yeah.
What do you consistently tell your kids?
Right. Okay, mom, give us mom advice.
So the thing about researching history is there are really no limitations. There may be an idea that you have to know something about how to research, or you have to know how to do it, and really you can just dive right in. On our website, we have a tab for resources, and we have a lot of the Wallowa County history resources that get come up over and over and over again listed. So if there's something that someone's interested in, you don't have to have any special skills. You can just dive right in and start researching. You can also start talking to people and come up with ways to preserve that. And so whether it's recording what the stories that people have to say, or writing them down, or any way of capturing that information, there's really no limitations in what you can learn and what you can do to get started. I think as far as what I would advise somebody who's interested in being involved in agriculture in this area, it's really the same. There's no limitations and there's no reason why you can't start wherever you are. So you don't necessarily have to have tons of acreage or a lot of experience. Just start talking to people who are doing the things that you're interested in doing and finding ways that you can learn and become involved. There's no wrong path. And I mean, I think my experience really, to get to where I was today, I was practicing law and spending most of my days in the courtroom, and now I spend most of the day outside with my kids and then come to work here, where I get to talk to all kinds of incredible people and explore interesting stories. So it certainly wasn't linear or a straight line, and there's no way I could have predicted that my days would end up the way that they do now based on what I thought I was going to be doing professionally. So my advice would be to start wherever you are and not get too hung up on the right or wrong way, but just to dive in into the things you're interested in.
I like that. I don't really have anything else. I'm speechless. Thank you so much, Sadie.
Yeah, thank you for sitting down with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did.
Like, share, subscribe, follow us, give us a review, everything helps. And don't forget, if you need a skull cleaning, contact Lily Barnes Skull Cleaning. All the information is in the show notes on our Facebook and our Instagram. Don't forget to get outside.